week, I introduced the subject covenant blessings. And I define covenant. Covenant is an agreement between two parties. And in the spiritual context, it is binding unto death. The binding unto death. Now, the head of the Hosanna choir, if you're in the church today, you must see me before you go in the afternoon. And you see me with your wife at the end of the service. Immediately at the end of the service, you see me. Thank you. Now, when you talk of covenant, it's an agreement between two or more parties, and it is binding unto death. So when God brings you into covenant relationship with Him, it's binding unto death. It is forever. Let somebody say forever. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. And it is only after God dies that He will not keep that covenant. And He cannot die. I believe God is about a 33-year-old man, constantly, persistently, ever. I believe that in my heart. Because see, if a 3-year-old man is fully developed, physically, emotionally, mentally, everything, and that was the age of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He finished the assignment on earth, not at 3 and a half, the man is at the zenith of his glory, the zenith of his strength, of his capability, of his mental development. Wise, mature, strong, vibrant. The law of diminishing return has not set in. By the time you are 50 and you are 60, you yourself, you will know that certain things you used to do at 33, you must take it easy. You know it. I know it. God law of diminishing return. That's how God made us. He made the earth, even human being, to change. How time changes people. If you want to know time changes people, go and look at a picture you took 20 years ago. In spite of the fact that they are telling me that I'm ever so young, I'm looking like I used to use, when I was in the university in 1977, I don't deceive myself. I don't. But see, the Bible says He made the heaven, made the earth. He said with that, He will change them like a garment. But He does not change. It does not grow old, constant, ever the same. Ancient of the day, but as young and as vibrant as ever. Anyway, I'm not talking about the characteristics of God today. But see, He is faithful to His covenant. We spoke about it last Sunday. And Psalm 89 verse 34, you don't need to write it down, you already have it. You just continue with your notes. Is that my covenant will I not break? Or anything that's gone out of my mouth? And then Psalm 111 verse 5, He will ever be mindful of His covenant. Ever. Ever. So the moment you enter into a covenant relationship with God, He is faithful forever. If you will keep your side of the bargain, then you enjoy the blessing of the covenant of God ever. And I began to enumerate some of the blessings of the covenant, and I mentioned 24 to you last Sunday. Am I right? Are you there? Do you see, have your notes? And I will mention another 30 today. So get ready. I mean, God wants to bury you in a deluge of blessings. So that wherever you move, whatever you do, you're just flowing in the blessing all over the place. And I want to load you with this stuff so that whenever you have an opportunity, you give it to other people and let them know that covenant blessings are available to them if they give their lives to Christ, and that they can enjoy the covenant blessing of God if they are in Christ and if they're walking with God. And we're going to read some scriptures. Go to Galatians. The other time I read, last Sunday I read Galatians 3. And I read some verses there that we are blessed with faithful Abraham. Go to Galatians 3. I read verse 7 again. It said, know ye therefore, they which be of faith, which are of faith. the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let someone say, I'm blessed. Come on, let me hear you. And take note of one word there. I hope I'll be able to touch it today. That word is faithful Abraham. The key word in covenant is faithfulness on both sides. We'll talk about that later. And I told you last Sunday that this covenant has its root in Abraham. How many of you remember? Okay? And that the covenant that God cut with Abraham is not a temporary covenant, is an everlasting covenant. How many of you believe that? You remember that? Okay? And I told you how God introduced himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, this is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. And I show you in Genesis chapter 15, chapter 17, how this covenant is an everlasting covenant. And in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, in the book of Hebrews, Apostle Paul shows us the link between us who believe in Christ and our father, Abraham. That Abraham was justified by faith and is an example, a prototype of those of us who believe in Christ. Now go to verse 13 of the same Galatians, and then I'll pick the subject of today. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Can somebody say amen? You see, two major things that were supposed to be ours as a result of our covenant relationship with God. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. So you can see that this covenant has its root in Abraham. We that believe we are children of Abraham, and through Jesus Christ we are to enjoy all the covenant blessings that God gave to Abraham. Please, if you understand that, wave a hand at me. If you understand it, wave your hand at me. I know you are right here. Lift up your head and look at me. If you understand it, wave your hand at me. Come on, shout hallelujah. Are you sleeping on me? Come on, shout hallelujah. So we are to enjoy the covenant blessings of Abraham. Please, repeat after me. Say, the covenant blessings of Abraham belong to me. Please, I want you to have a very clear understanding. Because the covenant blessing of Abraham are majorly about earthly blessings, earthly dominion, earthly possession, prosperity, good health, long life. Of course, there is the dimension of the spiritual there. But if you study the Old Testament, it's majorly about earthly blessing. And if you don't understand it, you won't connect it, you won't enjoy it, even though it's yours. Because for a long time, the church had neglected that aspect. We focus on the other side, which I touch now. The second part that belongs to us as a result of Christ redeeming us from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on Jesus, one, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through faith. The Holy Spirit. Let someone say the Holy Spirit. Let me hear you. Come on. Let me hear you. That is the... That is what gives us regeneration. We are created. We are born again. Abraham wasn't born again. He wasn't. Nobody got born again until Jesus died on the cross. He wasn't born again. That's why he was kept in paradise, awaiting the resurrection of Christ. And when Jesus Christ died and rose again, he led captivity captives. He took all of them, the righteous souls that died on the bosom of Abraham, and he led them to the presence of God in heaven. Now, when we die, we don't go to paradise. No. We go straight to heaven in the presence of God because Jesus has made a way for us. The people who enjoyed the covenant blessing of Abraham didn't have that aspect. That is the dimension of the New Testament to it. So, we that believe in Christ, we have access to all the covenant blessing of Abraham. And while we keep that in our pocket, we now have access to the fullness of the Holy Spirit and everything that implies. Being born again, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the calling of God, the glory of heaven, everything, everything. Direct entry into the presence of God in heaven. We have all of that by the Holy Spirit. So he said, through Jesus Christ, we receive we enjoy the blessing of Abraham, and then we receive the promise of the Spirit. So this covenant has its root in Abraham, but its full manifestation in Christ Jesus. So when you believe Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become an inheritor of the covenant blessing of Abraham, and at the same time, you become a participator, a partaker of the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of grace, and all that he has brought for us. If you are happy with that, lift your hand and shout hallelujah. That hallelujah doesn't sound well. Come on, shout hallelujah. Now, I'd like you to turn your Bible to 1 Kings. I want to pick one or two examples of people who were children of Abraham and who enjoyed certain covenant blessings, and we want to identify what they enjoy so you can enjoy the same. You can claim the same because the blessings of Abraham belong to you. And I want to pick Solomon, the wisest and the richest king that walked on the face of the earth. And like I told you, open your heart, open your Bibles, open your notes, pick your pen and write. Now in 1 Kings chapter 3, we read the story of Solomon. Solomon had been appointed the king of Israel. Now he had an encounter with God that prepared him for his lifetime assignment. Ladies and gentlemen, you have an assignment here on earth. This is not good preaching. This is not a sermon. This is the truth. There is a reason God sent you here. There is a purpose God sent you here. If you accomplish that assignment, you will end fulfilled. If you fail in that assignment, you will end frustrated. And the choice is yours. In your life assignment, you will not fail. I don't think you hear me. In your life assignment, you will not fail. Jesus said in John 17 verse 4, he said, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which you have given me to do. The reason why you need to enjoy the covenant blessing of Abraham is that so you will glorify God on the earth and finish the work he's given you to do. So how many of you want to fulfill your destiny? Let me see your hand. You want to fulfill your destiny? Come on, shout hallelujah. How many of you, the assignment God sent you on earth to do, you want to accomplish it? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. You want to accomplish the assignment? Come on, shout hallelujah. So get equipped. So this man had an encounter with God. Let me read from verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in the dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy. Let someone say great mercy. According as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Let someone say great kindness. That thou hast given him his son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Verse 15, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. The Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in Jesus' name. I will just begin to recount the divine, the blessings, the covenant blessings as enjoyed by Solomon and as enumerated here. Are you ready? Okay, number one, divine appearances. As a child of God, God can appear to you, to fellowship with you, to speak to you, to give you direction, to give you instruction. He can. He does appear to his children, and in various forms and in diverse manner. In this case, it was in a dream. He can appear to you in a vision, or through any of the manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is part and parcel of your covenant blessing with God, and you can cash in on it. Okay? Number two, divine access. Divine access. One of the greatest honor and blessing and privilege anybody, any great person can give you is the right of access to be able to enter into his presence. Access is a major thing, because when you have access to somebody's presence, if you are wise and smart, anything can happen. Hello, somebody here. Am I correct? All that Esther needed in order to reverse the decree that had gone against her and her people was access to the presence of King Ahasuerus. That's all. Now that she now invited the king for a banquet, and she made a request, and then Haman was hanged on the gallows he has made, and then the Jew were delivered, all of that were hinged on the fact that the king gave him access. If she didn't have access, nothing would have happened, and all of them would have died. That's why great people, people that are high up there, many times their protocol is very, very, very strict. They narrow down the people they want to have access to, because they know they don't have more than 24 hours a day. Even at my very little level, if I open my door to everybody, I will not preach, I will not study, I will not pray, I will not sleep, I will not go to toilet, I will not brush my teeth. The people will walk me to death. There are more than enough people. Even if I give everybody just 1 minute per time, and they say, excuse me, you are 1 minute. You are 1 minute. I won't have any breathing space, and I'll just drop dead. So protocol must be in place to narrow down. That's why when you appear before people that are great, that matter, that can contribute to your destiny, that have certain keys in their hands, don't appear unprepared. And don't appear casual. And then take a good opportunity. One man came to see me all the way from Enugu. He had been troubling me. Daddy, I want you to help me. Daddy, I want to do this. Daddy, I want to do this. Daddy, I want to. Daddy, I want to. Daddy. I said, okay, come see me. And he came. He came. I was busy, and you know, he'd been waiting. And then I took my time off in the midst of something, and I met him. I met him outside. And it's because I wanted a quick job, you know, I wanted to talk, you know. I sat on the low fence there, and said, sit beside me. Ah, he said, Daddy, I've been looking for this opportunity all my life to be close to you. I said, that's no problem. He said, what can I do for you? He said, I want to see you. I said, you are seeing me now. What can I do for you? Ah, he said, the matter is long. I need some time. Oh boy. I was itching. And ladies and gentlemen, as at that time, I was ready to assist him in the immediate to the tune of about half a million naira in his ministry. I was ready because he had been on me and all that. And I said, oh, please come. And I said, okay, what is it you want? And then he was talking around. And I say, and I gave it, I had only 10 minutes. I sat down there. And I said, fine. I've had that story. What can I do for you? He said, Daddy, give me the time when I will have time with you. I felt so sorry for him. He did not understand the privilege of access. He didn't. And you see, those who don't understand the privilege of access, there are two ways they can miss it. This is one way. One way is to waste the man's time or to come across as somebody who does not have any soft insight. Somebody who doesn't want what to do. When my 10 minutes was up and my peer was coming and giving me a signal with his finger, with his eyes, I said, bro, the Lord bless you. I've told them to check you into an hotel and the Lord be with you. I lay hands on him and pray for him. I said, my candle will see you. God bless you. He's been looking for opportunity for that time now when I will sit with him and I don't have the time. Because he didn't make good use of what he had. And another way you can abuse access is to just put your feet in your mouth. Somebody, a key person gives you access to his presence right away and say, what do you need? He said, Daddy, I want you to build a house for me in Victoria Island. And you are meeting him for the first time. No, you don't do that. Wisdom. I told you, what during my visit to Obasanjo when he was in the villa, went to pray for him, and you see, a lot of times depend on his mood. There's a time he's in a good mood, he will joke, he will hit you at the back and all of that. Some of my pastors were very shocked when I went to greet him in the shelter, and they saw the way he related to me very closely. They were shocked. I said, Noah, that's him for you when he's in good mood, when he's in good spirit. You know, this day, you know, we finished praying, and then he's a bishop. It's great seeing you. I said, what can I do for you? I said, Your Excellency, nothing. He said, really? What can I do for you? I said, nothing, Your Excellency. I just came to see your welfare, to pray with you, to encourage you. We have all them, nothing. And it was calculated. Because the time will come that will cash in on my relationship. Like November 11. Do you understand me? It's not money I want from Obasanjo. There are certain people, it's all their money. That their presence alone is more than money. Is somebody hearing me? If you're looking for money from Obasanjo, you are wasting your time. You don't know the man. I must have visited him not less than 30 times, either for prayer or to preach or to do something or for private discussion when he was in the state house, and he never gave me one kobo. I will say it on Sunday when he is seated. Trust me, I'll say it. He never gave me one kobo. So I will now tell him that now is the time to give me what you want to give me. I mean, there will be a lot of jokes and all that. Now, but what am I saying? Access to the presence of God. To fellowship with him. We're talking of the king of the universe. The one who controls the heart of all men. The God of the spirit of all flesh, and he's your father, and you don't need any protocol, and he says, you just come.
Just come, tell me what is in your heart. Tell me what I want you to, you want me to do for me. You have access. Oh boy. Come on. Hit somebody by the shoulder. Say, you have access to the presence of God. You do. Me? Do you know what that is? I'll show you. I mean, God just gave Solomon access. Go to Romans chapter 5. Oh God, help me today. I wanted to tell you 30 benefits. How many have I told you yet? Pray for me. I have my notes ready. Even if I'm going to read it to you, just pray. Now, Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have, excuse me, Francis, get me some water. By whom also we have access by faith. We have access by faith. Please repeat after me. Say, I have access. Oh boy, you don't know what you're talking about. Say, I have access by faith into the presence of God. Oh, come on, talk to me. Say, I have access by faith into the presence of God. Currently, I don't have access to Yaradua. I don't. Now, there are apparatus in place if I want to. But I don't. I don't have access to him. I don't have access to him. I don't have any link. He does not even know me. Probably either by reputation or anything. He doesn't know me. I don't have any link. Nothing. Nothing. I've not met him at a close range. I don't have any access. But I don't miss anything by that. I have access to the one who created him. I have access to the one who put him in place. I have access to the Father. Ephesians chapter 2. You have access through Jesus Christ to the presence of God. That's amazing. That's a blessing. Take advantage of it. You don't need any intermediary. You don't need any prophet, my friend. You're a child of the Most High God. In the morning, go to the presence of your Father. Good morning, Daddy. It's a great day today. I just come to celebrate you, to worship you, to glorify you. And after celebrating and worshiping him, let him let you give you access. If you're born again, you have access to the presence of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. Through him, that's through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access to the Father. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith. We have boldness, we have access with confidence to the presence of the Father. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 and I'll show you something. And I'll show you the implication of that access to the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4, let me read from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest, we cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In the Old Testament time, nobody had access to the Father directly, except God particularly, specially, does something extraordinary. Only the high priest had access to the presence of God, and it is only one day in a year. But here we are. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the curtain that separated the holy place from the holier place was torn into pieces, and access is created for us so we can go to the presence of God in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, in the night, and make a demand for whatever we have. We have access. It's a blessing of the covenant. If this is all, I can tell you today, I've told you something. Take advantage of your access. Don't let the devil harass you. You have a Father. He's omnipotent. He's almighty. You don't need no protocol. You don't need no prophet. You don't need no priest. If you're born again, you're a child of God. Part of your covenant blessing is direct access to the presence of the Father by the blood of the Lamb. And you can make a claim of whatever you need. That's why it says, let us come boldly that we may obtain mercy, and find grace to help in the time of need. You have access to the presence of God. Please help me tell three people, you have access to the presence of God. Tell them, let them hear you. Oh, now let me just rush to go back to 1 Kings chapter 8. So God gave Solomon the privilege of an access. Okay? Now, number four, great mercies. When Solomon began to talk to God, pardon? Three. Okay. Praise God. Before I talk about great mercy, number three, acceptance of your sacrifice. That you offer a sacrifice to God and he accepts it is a honor. Now listen, that a great person accepts a gift from you and is pleased with it is a honor. There are some people, when I want to give them gifts, I begin to rack my head. What do I give this person? He has money. He has position. He's big. He's not hungry. Probably he's far bigger than me, richer than me, can buy me and my whole village. I want to give him a gift. And I just get a notepad or a pen or something. I was traveling sometime and I was passing through the airport in Casablanca. And I was walking through the airport. I had about 3 hours time to kill, to just was. So I went around the place. It was my first time there. And I saw an Arabian craft made in gold. It was lovely. And they said it's about $500. And I remember a friend of mine who was a governor then, is not a governor now, and most likely he's going to be with us next Sunday. Most likely. He hasn't given his confirmation. And I said, this is good for this man. It's about $500. And I bought it. I bought it particularly for him. So when I returned from my trip, I called him. And I said, well, what's your movement this week, Your Excellency? I want to dash down there. I want to have a discussion with you, to fellowship with you, you know. So I took that gift along, and I wasn't anything very big, but very good, nice. And I said, Your Excellency, I traveled. Thank you. God bless you. Just leave it there. Okay, you can put it in the car. I said, when I go to Casablanca, I saw this gift, and you came to my mind, and I got this gift specifically for you in Casablanca. You could see this sparkle on his face. How many of you know people want to be appreciated? How many of you know that a governor in this nation, $500 is nothing? How many of you know that? $500, nothing. Nothing is nothing. But you see, I say, I got this particularly for you. Money knows what I'm talking about. He looked at it and said, wow. He said, this is lovely. He said, I'm putting finishing touch to my personal house in my hometown. And this will sit at the center of the sitting room. He said, anytime you visit me in the house and you don't see it there, ask me a question. So that each time I enter my sitting room, I will remember you for this gift. Boy, when I left him, we just fellowship, and I prayed with him. I led him to Christ, you know, before then. I walked out of that place. I felt so good that this big man had accepted my sacrifice. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. That is what drove Cain to a murderous drive, because God did not accept his sacrifice. And then he saw God accepted the sacrifice of Abel. And he became jealous. He became crazy. He became murderous. He felt so rejected. So for God, now listen, God said, if I am hungry, I won't tell you. He said, I made a cattle on the 10,000 hills. You think God eats your money when he says it calls for tithe? No. So if you have something to give to God, you give it with reverence and faith. I mean, you think a governor in Nigeria cannot travel to Morocco and get to Casablanca? Or cannot send one of his personal aides and say, get me a $500 gift? $500? But see, the fact that you present something to God and he accepts it is a plus for you. May your sacrifice be accepted. May your sacrifice not be rejected. When I'm talking of your sacrifice, your money, your time, your service in the house of God, that you are the one cleaning this altar. Do it with prayer. Lord, as I clean this altar, let it be acceptable in your sight. You're the one standing to sing and leading the choir. Is it because you have the more beautiful voice than anybody? You better stop thinking like that, otherwise God will pack you aside. You give voices to everybody in the world, and you can pick somebody else. Lord, as I sing and worship you, let it be accepted. Your giving, your service, your money, it's a blessing for you to be accepted. All right? Then great mercy. You see it in 1 Kings chapter 3. There. Hallelujah. Verse 6. You are shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy. Okay? Number 5, great favor. Is it 4? 5. You see, I said 5. What did I say? Yes, fine. 5. Now listen to this. You've shown David my father great mercy according as he walked with thee in true and righteousness and uprightness of his heart, and ask her with him great kindness. You have been kind to him. Great kindness. That is 5. Okay. Number 6 is divine fellowship, ability to fellowship with God. Fellowship means you are hand in hand walking through life together. You are not alone. He stands with you. He stands by you. He talks to you. You talk to him. You fellowship. You ask him questions about issues that you don't understand. It is part of the right and the blessing of covenant people. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Fellowship. That you can fellowship with him. That you can talk with him. Alright? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's part of the blessing. Then the gift of a man-child. A man-child. I will show you this now. Hallelujah. And thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't make a mistake about it. Female children are very, very special. Male children are very, very special. There's no discrimination. When I'm talking about a man-child, I'm talking of a particular gift. It could even be a human being gift like a son. It could be an institution. It could be something. Something that will carry on your name long after you have gone, so that your name will not perish on the face of the earth. Hey, am I talking to somebody here? I wanted to have a discussion with a friend of mine, let me use that. He retired from the civil service. He went as far as the permanent secretaryship level and retired. And a few days ago, I was thinking about him. Because now he's retired, he's not doing anything very serious. And then he said he wants to get into some business to make money. And I said, fine. So I was praying recently and I thought to myself, I would talk to him. Business is okay. That, hey, my friend, why don't you put up an institution? I'm not talking of something that will just give you money now. Something that will even exist and be there long after you are gone. Maybe a primary school, maybe a secondary school, maybe an NGO. Something You know, you do business here and business there, we'll give you money now, that's fine. But think about the future. Think about posterity. Think about your name. You're 65. You've retired 5 years ago, and you're behaving like you're tired. You're still a young man. How many of you know a 65-year-old man is a young man in the covenant? To die at 65 is a disaster. You see young, you see vibrant. A few days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, I went to visit KBC. His Royal Majesty, that's where I was trying to persuade him not to come, and Baba said, I will come with my chief, the Achiwaju and all that. Baba is 94. The man is still upright and erect. The man is agile. The man is coordinated and very sound upstairs. The man remember things clear. And 94, when I was walking out of that place, I said, now I know some of us may hit 100. Even 94, the man is still like that, 94. And this is not 94 by guesswork. They had an actual date of his birth. And then you are vegetating at 65. What a shame. Wake up, you're a young man. There is still a lot you can give to the society. Anybody that is making you think like that you are an old person at 65 is destroying you. At 65, gather yourself together. Regulate your food, your exercise, and keep fit. And put yourself in such a shape you can still contribute to the society. At 65, you are young. To die at 65 is a disaster. You will not die young. So Anna said, put something up on this Karakata thing. We die with you. Put up an institution. Put up an establishment. Structure it. So that even when you are gone, it will still go on and carry on your name. When I die, I don't want to die as a person. I want to die as an institution. 50 years after I'm gone, I want them to say, this one, God used him to start it. This one, God used him to do it. This one, God used him to do it. I'm not about what I'm going to eat and drink. To put in place. Now please do your katakara. If you don't do the katakara, you won't even have money to put up an institution. But think beyond katakara. A lot of them are there. Am I talking to somebody here? You getting blessed? If you're getting blessed, come on, shout hallelujah. So we're talking of a man child. A man child. And those of us that are blessed with sons is a blessing. And daughters too, train them well. That they will be worthy ambassadors and representative of your name after you're gone. Train them well. Speak to them. The other day, one of my sons, some years back, I called him, I said, bless you, son. Oh boy, take advantage of your prophet. I said, I want to pray for you. God is going to give you a son. Mommy knows what I'm talking about. You have two daughters, very precious girls, wonderful, beautiful, lovely children. I love them. Precious, very intelligent, brainy girls. And this couple was still very young. It's almost 10 years ago. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And God is going to bless you with a son that will carry on your name. Ismail, I said, Daddy, my wife and I, we are through. These two daughters are good for us. I said, they are good. I have a daughter. I love her like my soul. She's intelligent. She's like me. These girls are good. I'm going to pray for you. God will bless you this son. And he said, Daddy, no. Fine. And I kept quiet. A day will come, it will come to me. And we remember that conversation with a regret. Now, please, don't mistake me. A male child is not more important than a female child. But listen to this. When you're talking in terms of the covenant, certain things are vital.
Let him that has an ear hear and understand. I won't be the least, I'll be the least person to want to downgrade or degrade a woman. Never. Because redemption came to us via a woman. So that has changed the status of women permanently, forever. But I'm talking of what we carry on your name. Think like a covenant child. Hey, is somebody hearing me here? Wave me, wave at me if you're hearing me. Or am I talking above your head? Now, Pastor Deleji, you had a baby. We named the baby, when was the baby named? And that's number 5, boy. Boy, I'm boy. So I'm on his neck. I said, now we have to go one more time with a girl. After all, there must be somebody who inherit the trinket. I mean, how many of you know God is blessing my pastor? Real good. I mean, God. Praise the Lord. God will give you your own man child. Let me hear your amen. Listen, you know you can have 16 boys as your children and you don't have a man child. When I'm talking of man child, remember I told you it's not limited to your sons. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus didn't have a biological son. But this world is never the same again because he gave birth to a man child and we are his children. He's giving birth to an institution that is undying forever. So don't narrow your thinking to, I must have a son. And then you leave the church today and you go and grab your wife and say, you see, did you hear? Did you hear what Papa said? You must born me a man child. No. Go grab the Holy Ghost. As the Holy Spirit, give me an understanding, what is my man child? What is it that I must give back to that will continue to bless the earth even longer after I'm gone? Is somebody thinking here? If you're thinking, come on, shout hallelujah. Don't limit yourself to all this katakara thing, katakara. You know? And you just think about, let's eat and drink, tomorrow we will die. No! Think about the future. We're talking about Abraham. We're celebrating Abraham today. If Abraham didn't have a man child, we wouldn't be celebrating him. We're celebrating Solomon today. If he didn't do the will of God, we wouldn't be celebrating him. So think about God making you a blessing. God will give you your man child. Let me hear a loud amen. Right, this divine elevation is part of the covenant blessing. Look at that. Verse 7, now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David. It was God that made him king. It was God that elevated him. It's part of the covenant blessing. Then opportunity, I will have said this in one word. But I want to say it in many words, deliberately. Another covenant blessing is the opportunity to pour out your heart to a listening God who is able. I chose this word carefully. Opportunity to pour out your heart to a listening God who is able. If it's not a listening God, you're wasting your time talking to a deaf fellow. If it's a listening God and he's not able to do what you want, you're wasting your time talking to an incapable fellow. But you're talking to God who hears and who is capable, so you can stay in his presence. You don't let things worry you. You just stay in his presence and open your heart and talk like a child would talk to a father. Daddy, this one is bothering me. Daddy, this one is my fear. Daddy, this one is this. This one wants you to do this. And he's hearing you. How many of you know God hears when we pray? And he's able. How many of you know God is able? So you take advantage of that. Many of you are very busy.
But don't be too busy to pray. Schedule in your calendar one day at least. All of my children, permanent secretary, director general, all of those, you know, general manager and all that, schedule in your calendar one day. You aren't going to no office. You aren't going to no public function. You aren't going nowhere. You just shut your door and you are sitting in the presence of God. You don't even stay in the house. Probably you go out of the place. You go to a place where nobody can reach you on the telephone, where you cannot watch any television or anything. You sit in the presence of God and you pour your heart. One day in a month, you will be healthier for it. It will take all the pressure out of you, all the stress, all the tension. Go stay in the presence of God. The person that offended you, report it. The one that is troubling you, report it. The child that is naughty, report it. And just clean up. Throw out all the trash and ask God what you want him to do. And you will leave the place clean. You will leave the place light. You will leave the place fresh. And you will reap the harvest for the rest of your life. Take that one day out in a month. One day out of 30. And stop dying of stress. Those things that are killing us off, you can stay in the presence of God. Away from the maddening crowd that are driving you to your grave. Shut them out and stay in the presence of your God. You don't need no prophet. You don't even need me. You don't need no intermediary. Remember, you have direct access through the blood. And stay in his presence and just open your heart and tell him everything. The one you cannot tell your husband, tell him. The one you have no husband to tell, tell him. The one the pastor will be embarrassed about, tell him. The one you can't tell a friend, just tell him everything. And you will come out of the place confident and bold. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. The opportunity to pour out your heart to a listening God who is able. Number 10, divine favor. I will stop at that today. I'll pick the rest next week. Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 10. Are you there? And this is a very good follow-up to your stay in the presence of God. To talk to him. And the speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon asked this thing. My goodness me. In the presence of God, you are not tolerated. You are celebrated. In the presence of God, you are welcome. The speech pleases the Lord. Pleases the Lord. God is pleased that you are asking him, that you are talking to him, that you are not going to any idol somewhere there, that you are not going to any babalawo somewhere there, that you are not going to any crafty, funny, silly prophet who just wants to collect your money out there, that you stay in his presence and you are telling him everything. God is pleased that you are trusting him. God is pleased that you are depending on him. God is pleased that you are telling him your secret and your duty. God is pleased that you are interacting with him as a child. God is pleased that you are pouring your heart to him and you are talking to him. Get on the keyboard, son. I want to give you an assignment. Are you there? Are you going to listen to your prophet? Are you going to listen to your prophet? If you are going to listen to your prophet, let me hear him. Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Come on, shout hallelujah. Everybody that hears this message today, I want you to carve a day out in your calendar before the end of November. Block everything on that day. Block it out. Block it out altogether. And dedicate that day to stay in the presence of God from morning to night. If you need to offend a boss, offend the boss. And get favor from heaven. This November. Maybe it's Saturday, maybe it's Friday, maybe any day. If your house will not do the job, book in one hotel somewhere. Or one camp somewhere. Or one grant somewhere. It is just, you know, you and your husband, know you and your friend, know you and your children, you and your God. Please help me tell somebody, you and your God. and then spend that whole day. Pastor Kennedy, you hear me? Don't let the UI kill you before time. Alright? I mean, hey, if you die, they will observe a minute silence and life goes on. Let us rise and observe a minute silence in the honor of our immediate past so-and-so that has just passed on. And after some time, he said, may you so rest in perfect peace. When they said amen, they closed the chapter. They say, if I'm not there, nothing will work. You alone will see me. For your information, there are a lot of people there. They are engineering stuff to get you out of the place so they can take your place. Program yourself to laugh. Don't let anybody run you to an early grave. The same people that are saying you are the only one that can do it, I told myself. I said, I won't let anybody kill me. I won't let so. All of the people that are telling me that Archbishop Benson is around there. Baba, you are the only one. You are the only one. Where are they now? They are looking for other people. No. Take one day and block it out. Write this down as an assignment. If you do it, God will bless you. If you don't do it, God will knock your head. Yes. Take one day and one day. Listen. The revelation that you will bring out of that one day in the presence of God will change your life. I'm talking to somebody here. They want to program you to death. Deliver yourself. Deliver yourself. Stress is a killer. Deliver yourself. They'll bury you and forget you, and at the end, deliver yourself. Take time off. That day, don't fast. Eat whatever you want to eat, but stay in the presence of God and relax. And talk to your father, heart to heart, heart to heart, heart to heart. And he shall be well with you. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Wave your hand and give thanks to God and bless you. He is a good God. He is a wonderful God. God bless you. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. He is a covenant keeping God. He is ancient of it. Alpha is Omega. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are Alpha and Omega. Come on, sing it. Sing it. God just bless his name. He's a good man. Lord, give me my mantra. Lord, give me my mantra.